From his spare bedroom studio in Johnstown, this is the ScottCast.
Hi, I'm Scott James. This is the ScottCast, believe it or not, episode 87. Although I can only find about four or five. It was the great website crash. I went through that in the last podcast, and I'm working on it bit by bit and day by day. But I have been very flattered by the folks that have engaged with me since they listened to episode 86, which that was kind of like a relaunch, this episode 87. A lot of folks are saying, geez, you got to do that daily, got to do that regularly. It will be regular. Daily is a tall order, and it may be just for 5 or 6 minutes a day. I don't know, but we will try to get to it as often as we can. I am going to record today's episode, episode 87, an episode I'm calling All the Asians. All the Asians. And I'll explain that here in just a couple of seconds. I'm going to do it in parts. And that's something I rarely do. I usually just hit to the virtual, play and record, so to speak, on my digital recorder and go. And I very rarely take notes, as will become obvious to you. And I just kind of have a stream of consciousness into a microphone here in my spare bedroom studio, and you somehow listen. And thank you, and I appreciate that. But there is so much that I want to try to get together in episode 87 called All the Asians that I might have to take some breaks and kind of regroup my thoughts and actually make some notes. So I'll begin recording with a little bit of a frustration yet. And see, there's one of the Asians, by the way, frustration on dialing in what the ScottCast will be. When you listen to Scott and Sadie on Big 97.9, you knew what you were going to get. You're going to get a little shtick. You're going to get some country music, and you are going to get Scott. You're going to get Sadie in all our glory. And that's what makes a successful radio show or a successful podcast, for that matter, is an understanding of what you're going to get. When you go to McDonald's, you know what you're going to get. When you go to Bonefish Grill, you know what you're going to get. That is the same kind of consistency that you want from a radio show or from a podcast. And so with the ScottCast here in the relaunch, I'm trying to decide what sort of food I'm going to serve, so to speak. And many of you have very kindly, a social media post that had like 40,000 engagements, you have very kindly said, we want Scott to be Scott. And so I have tried to say, look, here's what I am. I'm a social, political, cultural, spiritual commentator. And when you talk about cultural and spiritual and political and all the other things that I want to comment, what is it? Social, cultural, political, and spiritual commentary. Well, those are pretty much the topics that you're not supposed to have at the dinner table. maybe that's what you can expect when you come to the ScottCast is, hey, he's got to talk about the stuff we really shouldn't talk about at dinner. I don't want it to become too political, but very much of my involvement today is in politics, is in governance. And when I get into a couple of minutes here, when I get into describing what all the Asians are, I think that our worlds are colliding. And a lot of people, especially the people that are familiar with me from the Scott and Sadie days and from Big 97.9 and from really the bulk of my career as a radio talent, you are used to the lighthearted, encouraging Scott. And trust me, that guy won't go away. But that darkness that we feel around us today, ultimately, when I get down to the bottom of it, is it a nation? I believe we're in Romans one time. All you have to do to understand where we're at is read Romans 1:18 through the end of the chapter. And you know what? In the episode 87 Facebook blog, not Facebook, but in the blog post that I posted, scottkjames.com, I will make sure that I quote that Bible verse in there because I believe that's where we're at. That darkness you feel, I fear maybe God turning his back on a once great nation. And that's as candid as I can be. Read Romans 1:18 through the end of the chapter, and I think you'll see exactly where we're at. And I'll go ahead and put that in the show notes, so to speak, in the blog post that will accompany this this podcast. That being said, that which we feel, even those of us who want to avoid politics, you know, I don't do politics, and I understand why, because you want to be happy. You don't want to think about it. You hire a guy like me via an election to think about it. But we must begin involving ourselves again, and we must understand where we are at as a community and where we are at as a nation. Now, I believe that it ultimately comes back to revival or bust, baby. I think we as a nation again need to turn back from God. Again, for the first time in this nation's history, just recently, it shows that we are below 50% as far as those who regularly attend church. Could that be a part of the problem that we're having in our nation? I posture that it is. And I'll preach later about the Oz Guinness's golden triangle of freedom. Geez, I'll preach that every show, I bet. But short of this revival, which we need to work towards, believe me, what do we need to do as a people, as a culture, as a body politic, as a community, to try to turn this around? The darkness that we feel, the heaviness, the turning away that we feel. That's the Asians. We feel frustration, consternation, trepidation, indignation. All over the bloviation, by the way, that exists in the body politic. Asian, you can literally look it up. You'll see it in the show notes. Asian is a noun suffix. It is the action or process of doing something. So you're frustrated, and that's the frustration. You're consternating over that which exists right now in the body politic and just what you see on the streets of your community. Thus, a consternation, a trepidation. We have seen so many people canceled because they dared lift their voice and express their opinion. And we have a trepidation about doing that in social media, in face-to-face situations, because, geez, it's just so much easier not to argue. Thus, we have that trepidation of not wanting to politically engage one another. And I do believe we need to politically engage, and we need to have that conversation. There's one of the Asians that I spoke so fondly about in episode 86. We must again begin having that conversation to hopefully assuage some of the frustrations, the consternations, the trepidations, the indignations that we feel, all the Asians. We need to try to overcome those. Okay, I'm going to pause here right now. Just take a little break for you. It'll be just a split second. But for me, I'm going to shut off the recorder and I'm going to go downstairs and I've got a visit with my wife for a little bit. I'll finish later this evening, which hopefully I'll put this out on Monday the 18th. But I want to talk about the frustration that you might be feeling with the Weld County Board of County Commissioners. Yes, I'm one-fifth of that group. The frustration that you might be feeling with the Weld Board of County Commissioners right now over sanctuary or not a sanctuary or resolutions and what they mean and over a limiting of public comments. I'll explain these and I'll try to address a little bit more about that hesitation, trepidation, frustration, consternation that you feel. In just a second, and it literally for you will be a second, as the Scottcast continues. Okay. If I were a real professional podcast, maybe someday, I would have some sort of audio or promotional or revenue-generating content right here. But I don't. So let's do the rejoin here.
Connect with Scott today. www.scottkjames.com. Click on Contact Scott. Thanks for listening to the Scottcast.
Welcome back to the Scottcast. Of course, you never left. I have been gone for about 2 hours. I went downstairs, had dinner with my wife, watched an episode of the Lincoln biopic that's on Apple TV right now. It's promising. It's episodic in nature, so I'll come back and see how it is. That being said, let's get to what is, I believe, one of the biggest Asians. One of the biggest Asians is the frustration that we feel, especially over the crisis on not only the southern border, but as an article in the Epoch Times just this morning indicates, now the northern border. Every border we have has become porous, and we see what is essentially an invasion by military-age males into this nation. Now, trust me. Again, not everything is absolute. I believe there are some legitimate asylum seekers there, which is why the federal government must be called on to stop politicking with immigration policies and fix it. We can provide for the workforce needs of this nation if we simply had a proper functioning immigration system and we had a path by which those who wish to come to this nation to work and exchange their labor for a fair wage, we should be able to do that. In something that I'll address in another Scottcast in days to come is the fertility rate, basically, of the United States of America. We're now at 1.6. We have to be at 2.0 simply to replace ourselves, simply to break even. But for some reason, Americans are simply not having babies. Now, trust me, I have plenty of thoughts on why we're not. But Americans are simply not having babies. So we're at 1.6 in a fertility rate. You can do the math on that. In half a dozen generations, we're gone. We're extinguished. We need immigration in this nation to keep us vital. But we need to bring those people whom we need. And I know that sounds selfish, but it can't a society bring into its nation that which they need, the skill sets that they need. We can bring into this nation what we need by a functioning immigration system and by selecting individuals who want to enter this nation either to be here on a temporary basis, to provide a labor, a good, or a service that our economy needs, or to come here on a permanent basis because they want to become part of the United States of America. We have the ability to fix our immigration system, but the folks in Washington, D.C. simply choose not to take action. I believe because there's too much money to be raised, too many clicks to be had in the largesse of the argument. Why fix it when they fundraise it on it now? Which, don't get me into the, we'll go into the fundraising thing someday. I'll yell into the microphone a little bit about that. But I believe there is more largesse to be had, more funds to be made, more division to be had, more offices to be won, more elections to be won by simply having the division rather than fixing the problem. Can we elect people to federal office that fix the problem? But right now, the problem is not fixed. That was a good rant. And yes, we need to fix the immigration system. But right now, we simply have a porous southern border. And that's one of those things that we hear what they're saying, and that's the subhead in my blog post on this. We hear what they're saying, and then we see what we're seeing. And what they're saying and what we're seeing simply don't agree. My grandfather, I love some of the sayings that he had, used to say, "Don't piss on my foot and tell me it's raining." We are Coloradans. We are smart and capable thinking people. And right now, the federal government and many of the state government are pissing on our foot and telling us it's raining. No, it's not. We have a problem that needs to be fixed. We hear what they're saying, and then we see what we're seeing, and that causes as a nation a frustration. And when that frustration hits to home, especially in Weld County, boy, people, their lives come unglued. I understand the consternation that exists right now. And Weld County, me, the Board of County Commissioners, is at the epicenter on this right now. Because there's a lot of gray area, and I believe that there's a particular commissioner that's politicking on this and fundraising and found a wedge issue upon which he could be reelected. It's wrong. But there's a gray area that exists right now. It all started March 4th in a report that was on Neil Cavuto's show on Fox News. And it basically showed a study from the Center for Immigration Studies, and Weld County was on that list as a sanctuary county. What? Weld County, a sanctuary? Not in Weld County. Well, listen to me. I can most definitively assure you that no action ever taken by the Board of County Commissioners that I have served on or any Board of County Commissioners before me has ever deemed Weld County a sanctuary county. Now, I put these links on my blog on the post that accompanies this Scottcast at scottkjames.com. And you can go there and you can read the links yourself. And sure enough, you go to the Center for Immigration Studies and you see that right there, it's listed as Weld County as being a sanctuary county. But here's what, let me read the quote that's from the Center for Immigration Studies websites. It says, "These cities, counties, and states have laws, ordinances, and regulations, resolutions, policies, and other practices that obstruct immigration enforcement and shield criminals from ICE." Okay. I would argue that that is a rather devious piece of legislation passed by the Colorado General Assembly in 2019, House Bill 1911-24, which simply forbid local law enforcement from cooperating with ICE. So by the Center for Immigration Studies standards, likely every county and every city in the every municipality in the state of Colorado is sanctuary in nature, if that is their metric. But I can't tell you this. I've sent an email to the contact information that's listed on the Center for Immigration Studies website. And I've said, "Hey, I'm a Weld County Commissioner and I want to know why my county's on this." I'm anxious for the reply and we'll find out. I think it's probably just a misunderstanding. If it is, I'll ask that Weld County be immediately removed from their website. If there indeed is something in their metric and something they have found in our code or ordinance or policy somewhere, and my guess is it's House Bill 1911-24, which, by the way, is out of my authority then, But if it's anything that's within my authority, I promise to you we'll change it. But I can most definitively promise you that Weld County is not sanctuary by any action taken by any Board of County Commissioners. But you see, it exists on a website. And people rightfully and understandably are upset. And some commissioners need points upon which they can politic and be reelected and fundraise. And so therefore, they introduce resolutions that mean nothing. You probably heard of Commissioner Sain's resolution to declare us not a sanctuary county. Here's why I have a problem with that. We're not a sanctuary county. So therefore, why do we have to pass a resolution, which, by the way, is the county's primary instrument of action? The resolution is that by which we enact budgets, that by which we appoint people to boards and commissions, that by which we enact contracts. The resolution is the primary instrument of action held by the Weld County Board of County Commissioners. So therefore, why do we want to use our primary of instrument of action to take no action at all? Because that's basically what she's saying is we must say that we are not a sanctuary county via resolution. Okay, we're not a sanctuary county. But why do we have to resolve that? To me, it's vitally important that we understand the role of government, we understand what our authority is, and we understand how we do things. If I have to start passing resolutions on everything we're not, then we're going to be passing resolutions ad nauseum until I'm done being a county commissioner. Hear me. We are not a sanctuary county. Period. But it is a wedge issue, something that has gotten traction so particular commissioners can politic and campaign and stir up people in the gray areas. Thank you for fighting for us. Trust me, the resolution, if passed, would do absolutely nothing. Folks say, "You, Commissioner James, you were so strong when it came to COVID. You stood up and you fought for us." Here's what happened during COVID. We recognized that COVID was real. Jesus, people are in hospitals and are dying for this. But we don't believe that the governor has the authority to institute lockdowns, mask mandates, social distancing orders, vaccine mandates. We don't believe the governor has the authority. So therefore, we will not enforce what we believe to be unlawful orders. And of course, boy, the consternation in the gray area went crazy, and I got death threats, and everybody yelled at each other. But ultimately, the Weld Board of County Commissioners was right, because we still believe the governor did not have the lawful authority to make those orders. And so what you're saying is, well, why you are so strong during COVID, why aren't you strong during this immigration crisis? And I believe it to be a crisis. Why aren't you strong during that? The exact same principle applies. Because we as a Board of County Commissioners do not have the authority. I was in Denver just today, and I saw it on the streets. The people running out in the middle of the intersections with the bottles and the squeegees, trying to get all over your windshields. Hey, at least they're trying to work for a buck. You've seen it on the streets. You've seen it in the shelters. You've watched Mayor Mike Johnston in Denver go crazy. In fact, he's calling municipalities in Weld County now, asking if they have resources by which they can house illegal immigrants. I would challenge every mayor, and trust me, every one of our 32 municipalities in Weld County we have a great working relationship with, and every one of those municipalities functions independently in their jurisdiction. Weld County is there to support them, but I would encourage you, mayors of Weld County commissioners, just tell Mike Johnston no. Tell him no. He is choosing that, and there's a link on the blog that's associated with this particular Scottcast. There is a link on the blog that shows that, geez, he's served now nearly 40,000 illegal immigrants in Denver. That would make the number of illegal immigrants that Johnston has served in Denver the second largest municipality in Weld County, smaller only to Greeley. That's a choice that he makes, and I believe it to be the wrong choice. And our people are understandably concerned. They're concerned that their taxpayer dollars are going to be going to support those who are in this nation illegally. They are concerned for their safety. Here's the authority that we have. We can make sure that not a dime of your dollar goes to fund those who are here illegally. As I said in the Wednesday evening town hall that was hosted by Natalie Tennant and her Never Surrender group. And I want to applaud Natalie for putting that on. But I to address issues that came up there about our Department of Human Services, there are metrics by which people must prove that they're in this nation illegal, or they must prove that they're in this nation legally, rather, before they can receive any benefits, any SNAP benefits, any temporary aid for needy families benefits. They must prove that they're in this nation legally. I can assure you that not a dollar of your money, of your taxpayer dollars from Weld County, are going to support those in this nation illegally. I can promise you that. So you're saying, well, why not pass a resolution? Again, I get the same commissioner that's trying to politic on this has also brought forward a resolution to call Weld County a abortion sanctuary county. Okay, we can all get behind that because that's the deviousness in these resolutions. We all agree with it in sentiments. Yes, we agree that Weld County is not a sanctuary county. And yes, we agree that we should seal the border. And yes, harumph, harumph, harumph. Well, don't get me started on that. That's one of Blazing Saddles, one of my favorite movies. We must do something, do something, do something. Harumph, harumph, harumph. I didn't get a harumph out of that guy. We run into the center of something to say we must do something, do something, do something, harumph, but we never once ask ourselves, do we have the authority to properly do something? And that's the deviousness that exists in these resolutions. We all agree that abortion is a sin. Abortion should be stopped. But we also must agree that that is a matter now of state legislators, and in Colorado, it's most definitively a decided piece of legegislation. I don't agree with House Bill 1274. I certainly don't. But we agree now that that is at the state legislation's purview, and the Board of County Commissioners simply has no authority. So what happens if we pass something like an abortion sanctuary county resolution? We pass it, and we pound our chests, and we say, harumph, we've done something. And we politic, and we fundraise, and we say, look, Weld County, I'm fighting for you. Vote for me. But the day after tomorrow, they perform an abortion at Planned Parenthood. And somebody gets me on the phone and says, Commissioner James, they've just performed an abortion at Planned Parenthood. What are you going to do about it? And you don't want to know what I'm going to say? Absolutely nothing. Because I don't have the authority. Authority matters. Because when one tries to apply authority that has not been given to them by the consent of the governed, the very fundamental basis of our democracy, of our constitutional republic in this nation, when you try to apply authority that you don't have, you're nothing more than a tyrant. I don't have the authority to enforce a sanctuary, an abortion sanctuary county resolution, and I don't have the authority to enforce any sort of immigration resolution. I don't have the authority. The authority lies with the state government and the federal government. That's who you need to lobby, not a board of county commissioners. But even Natalie herself has said, but Commissioner, give us our warm and fuzzy. You're asking me to placate your feelings. Hear me. I'm a person of my word. We are not a sanctuary county. Now, we'll find a way to make a statement, even if it's a joint statement with the Never Surrender Group, if it's a joint statement with all those in Weld County who want to stand with us against illegal immigration, we'll make that statement. But to use a resolution to act like we have some sort of authority when we do not is wrong. It's the very same kind of wrong that the governor tried to institute when throughout the whole COVID mess. The same principle applies. So that's what I have to say about resolutions, and I'm pretty darn passionate about it. And more than anything, what I'm passionate about is governments staying in their proper role in utilizing only the authority that's been given to them by the consent of the governed. You are the governed. You grant your consent when you allow certain restrictions to be applied on you, when you allow ordinances to be passed, when you allow laws to be passed. That comes to you by the consent of the governed. Your elected representative represents you, the consent of the governed. And for us to act like we have some sort of authority that we simply do not have is wrong. And that's why I will not support any sort of resolution that says that we can have any sort of impact on illegal immigration, because we can't. It most decidedly is a federal issue. Now, I will look into every way that we possibly have at our disposal. And really, the best way that we have is to simply empower Sheriff Reams and to make sure that he has what he needs in the Weld County Sheriff's Office to continue to keep our citizens safe. That's the best thing that we can do. But border policy, border enforcement is simply put a matter of federal, not a matter of county, a matter of federal. Now, I hear that El Paso County passed it and Douglas County passed it. And trust me, the commissioners, all five of them in El Paso County and the three of them in Douglas County, are, I consider them all friends, certainly fond acquaintances. And look, I don't know what authority that they're claiming that they have, and I'll look into it. I'll make you that promise. I'll look into it. But my guess is it's more a statement. It's a political statement and not a statement of action. And I realize that I work in a political realm. But if you want us to make a political statement on governmental time, that somehow crosses a boundary with me. And the reason that I believe one commissioner is so passionate about it is either A, she believes she has the authority and she does not, or B, she's politicking. She thinks this is an issue that's going to attract clicks and fundraising and votes. And is that how you want your government operating? I'll pause right there because I could go on and on and on and just as passionate. Gonna pause right there. I need to take a little breather. I'll insert a little stop here where I wished I had a commercial. I don't need a commercial, but I do need a break. I need to get a drink of water. Take a little break, and we're gonna be back and address what some people are calling a censorship, what some people are calling a taking of their rights. My comments on public comments in just a second. I mean, I need a commercial. I really don't want to monetize this content, but I need something to break it up. I guess I could do a promotional piece. And let me tell you that you are listening to the Scottcast. This was something I started years and years ago as a radio talent, as a mechanism to have non-goofy thoughts put out. And I'll continue to use this as kind of a splainer. I'll be a commentator on issues that are political, issues that are governmental, issues that are societal, issues that are cultural, issues that are spiritual. You know, all the things you're not supposed to talk about at dinner. I'll make sure that I talk about them here on the Scottcast. The best favor that you can do for me is like or subscribe. Depends on whether you're on iTunes, iHeart. We're on Spotify and Pandora and the big ones. Please like us. Please follow us. And make sure that you hit scottkjames.com. That's scottkjames.com for kind of all the other things that I write and all the notes that go along with this podcast. It's scottkjames.com. This is the Scottcast. Please like and subscribe. It's kind of like a commercial.
Please like, follow, subscribe, and comment wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening to the Scottcast.
This is the final segment of the Scottcast. Of course, I didn't know there was going to be multiple segments. I literally don't square script these things. I just sit down and I start recording. And I realize that this one, I listened back to some of that last segment that I recorded, and I was pretty pounded on the table, passionate about that. I promise not to be that way in all these episodes, but when it warrants it, I will. And I believe that a very political explanation warranted it in this particular Scottcast because of all that's going on, and quite frankly, because of what my last week was like. Some of them will be lighter, some of them will be spiritual, some of them, again, societal, cultural, political, spiritual commentary. That's what I'm going to try to serve on the Scottcast, which is so you'll know what to expect. I want to talk finally about that which has people even as upset as the immigration issue, because how could this come out of the conservative Weld Board of County Commissioners? Some are seeing is it a censorship. Some are seeing it as we've taken away their rights. No, we haven't, and I'll explain in a second. But I understand the passion around us suspending, and it's just a suspension, suspending public comment. Many have said, well, public comment is my right. And I hate to sound snotty, and I hate to sound elitist, because I'm not. But it is very important for me. I believe that much of the consternation, there's a nation, much of the consternation, much of the frustration that we felt, it would be alleviated if there was simply an understanding of the rules and a knowledge of the way things work. And it's not like I'm some sort of rocket scientist, that I've just been involved in local government for a while, and I have learned over time, and many of the lessons very hard, I have learned how the process works. And I'm very much a student of, fan of the process, because we are a nation of what? Laws, not men. And the rules matter especially in a constitutional republic. The rules are everything. The rules matter. And so we suspended public comment. Now, I don't agree with that in fundamental. In fact, I have all county commissioners who have made my living behind, you know, one of these. I've made my living behind a microphone for 40 years. I have made my living, put the roof that's over this spare bedroom studio, put the roof over my head and food in my belly and my wife's belly, my kids' bellies. I've done that via an exercise of the First Amendment. So it's ironic that, geez, I would be supportive of a temporary suspension, and that's all I am supportive of, a temporary suspension of public comments. People think it's directly related to the immigration issue because we had a lot of folks in our chambers supporting Commissioner Sain's very political resolution. And a lot of folks spoke out against us when we chose to not even place the resolution. I guess we chose on the Monday to not place it on the agenda. We placed it on the agenda on Wednesday, and then we voted it down because of all the things that I've already said in this particular Scottcast. Now, that being said, Commissioner Ross did poll the county commissioners and say, I want to suspend public comment. There were some that interpreted that which was said by the public on that day as being attacked, attacking, of being threatening. I don't. Just to set the record clear, I don't believe that anything was out of line. It is my job for you to come at me, bro. And I hate that politics has become that. I hate that public service has become that. You do have every right. I encourage you to hold me accountable. You know, when it gets personal, don't call me fat. I might pout, even though it may be true. We must maintain a decorum. Now we mustn't. I mean, we don't have to maintain a decorum, but I think it is gentle persons can agree to disagree. Gentle persons can have spirited conversations. And I believe that should be the case, as I believe it was the case on that particular day. But some of our staff did feel like it was a little over the top. And when you take not only this issue in light with many of the other issues, you might have saw my friend Mayor Jenny Arndt over in Fort Collins had to abruptly adjourn a council meeting here the other day because she had three people come in to protest the Israeli actions in the Gaza Strip, which, by the way, I fully support. But they came in to protest the Israeli actions in the Gaza Strip, and then they glued their hands to the wall. I'm telling you, I had to shut off the lights and said, good night, folks. See you tomorrow morning. I would have. Look, if you're going to act like children, then I'll treat you as such. And so kudos to Mayor Arndt for at least helping the poor folks. Hey, you come into my council chambers, you come into the county commissioner chambers, and you glue your hands to the wall, I'll just let you stay there. Shut off the lights. Bring them some water tomorrow morning. But that's what we have become. And they were in protesting with the Fort Collins City Council, which, trust me, a lot of them probably shared their opinions. I don't know. That's speculation on my part. But they're in protesting with the Fort Collins City Council over something the Fort Collins City Council has absolutely no authority. There we're back to that authority issue. So all of a sudden, that which is public comment, and public comment should be a way that you can make comment about in our case, about the ongoing, you know, the doings and the authority and the conduct of business in the county. You should make comments on that which is in our purview to impact. And of course, we can't impact immigration and we can't impact what's going on in the Gaza Strip. And so what I believe public comment has become, to quote the Bard, all the world's a stage and all the men and women are merely players. Public comment time has become shameful posturing time. I had a constituent call me out over the weekend saying, of course, public comment has always been political. And I pushed back on him saying, look, it's become nothing but politics. And I truly believe that a sitting member of our Board of County Commissioners has weaponized the public comment process, where she whips out resolutions and prearranges people to come in and make comment during public comment time. And she turns it into a stage. And it's wrong. It's not against the law. But it's wrong. It's a waste of the time of the body It's a waste of the time of our staff. If you have comments on my performance, if you have comments on the business of the county, then by all means, make them. But if you're there for, as I call it, the show, because all the world's a stage, and we're here just to generate clicks and to raise fundraising dollars and to send out emails 90 minutes after meetings asking for money and saying, harumph, 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 I'm fighting for you. If this is all just some sort of coordinated impact to fundraise and get reelected, then that's improper use of public comment and the improper use of a Board of County Commissioners' time. And I stand by that. So having less to do with anything said by the public and more to do with the orchestration that was taking place in an effort to politic and get reelected, that is the wrong use of the Board of County Commissioners' time. And so therefore, I was supportive of a very temporary withdrawal of public comment. But you know what? I'm going to advocate now for the removal of that because I believe public comment should be on our meeting agenda. But guess it. Don't tell me this. I have the right. And again, I don't want to sound elitist. I just know this because I've learned it over the years. But no, you don't. There's nothing in statute that says that public comment must be provided. Public comment must be provided in a couple of times when we sit in the legislative, meaning when we pass ordinance. Then we must, required by statute, when we pass ordinance, to open up for public comment on the ordinance. And when we sit in a quasi-judicial role, quasi-judicial roles are the change in land use, so we must have public comments during land use hearings. And quasi-judicial is say, the granting of a liquor license. That's when statute mandates public comment. It does not mandate it during the end of a meeting to where 3 minutes free-for-all go. Although, just because it's not against the law doesn't make it right. I believe we should reinstate public comment, and I will work towards that. But don't abuse it. And I'm not saying that so much to the kind citizens of Weld County as I am the people that are involved in the political process. It's coordinated, and it's used as a stage. Because all the world's a stage, and all the men and women are merely players. It's wrong. And it's also wrong to remove public comment, so I will be an advocate for getting it back. All right, I've gone long enough. There's episode 87 called All the Asians of the Scottcast. A D-voice guy here in a second will tell you what to do. My name is Scott James. My website, scottkjames.com. Thank you for listening to the Scottcast.
Connect with Scott today. www.scottkjames.com. Click on Contact Scott. The Scottcast is a copyrighted production of Scott K. James. Reuse is prohibited without prior consent. Please like, follow, subscribe, and comment wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening to the Scottcast.